Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along. You are listening to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. We'll be looking ahead to tonight's meeting from Dundalk. There's an 8-race card from Dundalk. My name is Sam Norris and I'm joined, as ever, on the Irish Racing Preview by Andy Holding. How are you today, Andy?
I'm very well, Sam.
Good stuff. Looking forward to tonight's racing?
Not a bad card, yeah. 8 races as usual.
Yeah.
And it's quite sad to see this being the last meeting at Dundalk now for the winter. But it's been a long, hard winter and we'll come back refreshed in the autumn. But yeah, this one's the sign-off card tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully Andy can point you in the direction of some winners tonight. The first race we'll get our teeth into is the 5:45, the first of the night. Just a very short 5-furlong trip here. Just 6 runners down to go to post. And it's currently priced up like this. Your 5-4 favourite is Capella San Severo, 6-4 Clevedon Street, 10-1 Wee Monster, 10-1 Ace of Arts, 10-1 Arterial, and 16-1 No Way Jack. It's looking like a bit of a two-horse race, this one, Andy. Would you say it's fair to say?
Well, it's interesting that the two market leaders have come from yards who know a thing or two about training winners at Dundalk. Obviously, Geolines, as we know, is probably the king of Dundalk, or certainly was in the early stages of the Dundalk set up. And of course, probably now Mickey Halford's taken over as the leading trainer. But Geolines' horses have always got to be respected in races like this. He's got a nice pedigree as well. He's by Showcase, and that horse of John Gosden's many years ago, who was quite a useful individual. And Showcase, in his first season as a sire, has already produced a winner in the shape of Absent Friends. So that's a good start for that particular bloodline. And, you know, with this sort of horse coming from a yard who do really well here, then it's obviously got to be high up on most punters' shortlist here, along with this Cleveland Street, who comes from a smaller stable, but a significant one at the same time. Certainly from a strike rate point of view, this John Feen has really been catching the eye with these runners here at this track. He won with a horse called Prince Connoisseur several months ago, and he hasn't looked back since. He's done a real good job with a horse called Strategic Choice. He's won 3 times, and Six Silver Lane, who landed a gamble for this yard last week. So it's a difficult call between the two. Obviously, you know, the market is pointing in the direction of these two. It would be interesting to see how the betting does develop. Of the two, I'd slightly prefer Capello San Severo, obviously because of that Showcasing sire having already produced a 2-year-old winner, but there wouldn't be a great deal between them.
Okay, there you go then. Not going to be a lot between them in that race, but Capello San Severo is the pick for Andy. We'll move on then to the 6:15 from Dundalk, 6-furlong handicap contest. 11 runners in this one. We've currently got 3-1 favourite for Fine Cut, 4-1 Little Fastnet, 13-2 Casso de Lago, 13-2 Invisible Flash, 7-1 Royal Focus, 8-1 Aru Chacha, and 9-1 or bigger the remainder. And in the favourite here, got off the mark last time out, a course and distance victory, no less. Is Fine Cut high up on the reckoning for you?
It's got to be, yeah, Sam. The slight worrying concern, if you fancy Fine Cut, is that the handicapper dished out a hefty blow to this Fine Cut for winning a modest race last time out. Yes, he was impressive by 5.5 lengths, but God almighty, he's took his revenge. He's put this horse up £16, no less. Now races off a mark of 80, and there's a couple of horses in here who are lurking off fairly attractive-looking handicap marks that might have a say in this race. So, although Fine Cut comes here in good form, we know that the headgear works, we know that he likes Dundalk, but he might have his work cut out in coping with a filly of Davy Watchman's called Little Fastnet, who run in a series of good maidens towards the back end of last season. Most notably, when third at Leopardstown in a red-hot maiden won by Velardo, from the Edward Lyman star, but you've only got to look back to see what finished second to tell us how good that race was. My Titania, of course, who's one of the favourites for the 1,000 guineas this season and is up on the shortlist for the Oaks as well. She went on to win next time out in a group race, so that form doesn't read too bad. Didn't really cut my choice in a decent race towards the back end at the Curra, but you know, that was a third run, and now she's got a handicap mark of just 72. I've got a feeling she's going to be better than that. My only slight worry about her is she just carries her tail a little bit awkward. I've watched her a few times in a race. It's whether she was just feeling something as a two-year-old and she wasn't quite ready. Perhaps she was still growing. That would be my only slight worry. But David Watson's made a good start to the season. And like I say, off that handicap mark of 72, drawn stall one, I'd have to go for Little Fastnet just from a pure handicapping point of view.
Okay, then Little Fastnet for Andy, who's available at quite a good price at the moment as well. We'll move on now then to the 6:45 of the Paton Stakes, a Class 1 listed 7 furlong contest. It's safe to say this is one of the most attractive races of the evening. Prince of All is currently the market leader at 2-1, 11-4 Due Diligence, 6-1 Magnolia Beach, 7-1 Colour Blue, 7-1 Palamas, 9-1 Quadrivium, and 14-1 or bigger the remainder. And you talk about trainer form, how important it is in Ireland. Aidan O'Brien had the winner in this renewal last year with Gale Force 10. What do you make of his horse this year? Due Diligence second in the betting at the moment.
Yeah, they've probably just been slightly behind, haven't they, Sam? It's well documented that Aidan O'Brien's making a typically slow start to the season. I think he's had three or four winners, but nothing like the amount that, say, Dermot Weld has had, for instance. He's had upwards of 20, so he's rather been left behind. But that doesn't mean to say that his horse is a bang out of nick. I just think that's the way he's going. That's the pattern. And particularly a lot of the horses he's been running have been running on soft or heavy ground, and they want better ground. Now, this Due Diligence he runs here is a very interesting contender, isn't he, in many ways. First run, of course, for Aidan. He's brought up good sire, American sire, Warfront. He's USA bred, and most of his offspring obviously want an all-weather surface. He's just had the two runs, but they've been in good company at Saratoga and, of course, Belmont Park in a Grade 3 race. Now, how good that form is in comparison to running here at Dundalk, I wouldn't have much of a guess, but he's obviously worth looking at in the market. Because I don't know much about him, I'd be guessing if I selected him. I'm going to have to go with the horse I tipped here last time, a horse from a very much informed stable, Prince of All from the Deegan Yard. Now, Paul Deegan had two runners, two winners at Coor on Sunday, so we know his horses are flying. And we also know that he comes off the back of a win, and a smooth win at that, and a good maiden here on his last start. He beat a couple of horses who've subsequently gone on to boost the form. I've got a feeling one next time out. And of course, Urban Moon, who was 8 lengths further back in third, he slaughtered a good field at Navan the other day. So that doesn't look too shabby. The speed figure of the race is very good. I got this horse coming home in 34.3 off the corner. If a horse is doing 34 and change here at Dundalk, that's usually very, very significant. He's dropping back in trip, which was my only worry, because he took a long time to get into top gear last time out. But hopefully they go a good gallop. Certainly his fitness should come into the fore. And I'd take Prince of All to continue his upward climb.
All right then, Prince of All, there we go, in the 6:45. The 7:15 is the next race, a handicap for horses rated between 47 and 65. 1 mile the trip, 12 runners down to go to post. And your market leader at the time of recording is Hellenistic at 11-4. Tom Dooley, 9-2. Jackie Ellis, 5-1. The Butcher's Filly, 5-1. Mahua, 7-1. 12-1 or bigger, the remainder. And there's been a bit of a market mover in this one already in Jackie Ellis. Opened at 7s, chopped into 5s now. Which way do you see this one going?
I'm not absolutely overstruck on the favourite here, Sam, this Hellenistic, albeit, she comes from a powerful yard who ran in fantastic form. I actually marked her down as being very one-paced the last time that we saw her. That was behind Yes I Am on the 28th of Feb. That was just an OK run, but it was nothing special. The figure of the race wasn't anything off the scale. So I'm going to brush her to one side and concentrate on a race that was run here a few weeks later. It was won by a horse called Fix It. Back in second was a very consistent horse of Mickey Halford's, who I napped on the podcast last time out, called Political Policy. And basically, I've been looking to follow this form pretty much throughout the last month or two, and it's certainly paid off for me. And back in fourth, there's a horse called the Butcher's Filly, who makes its second run here on the all-weather at Dundalk. That was its first run, of course, in the hands of Tom Madden. I noticed they were doing some really good late work in that race. And certainly the further she was going, the better. She was a bit keen early on, but she went through the line really strongly. And I marked her down as a filly that could definitely win a race, certainly a handicap anyway, off this mark, when she stepped up in trip. Now, she's up a furlong here tonight to a mile, which I think will play more into her strengths. Tom Madden's been put on the subs bench tonight, and Connor King takes over in the saddle, who's a little bit more stronger than Tom at this stage of his career. So the combination of a decent jockey on a good draw, and with that run under its belt over an adequate trip, I recommend the Butcher's Folly here at 5-1. Looks a really good each-way bet in that 7:15.
All right, then, the Butcher's Filly for Andy in the 7:15. 7:45 is the next race on the card from the Dundalk meeting. And we've got an odds-on favourite here in Carla Bianca, currently 1-2, Meandering 11-4, Fastnet Mist 15-2, Star So Bright 15-2, 20-1 or bigger the remainder. And as I say, odds-on favourite here, there's three horses running for the first time under rules. Can you call this one?
This Carla Bianca, I mean, it's 1-2 this morning. This could be the best 1-2 chance in the history of the game, because it's come from a Group 1 race, the Moyglare stud race, the last time it ran, and as we all know, that form is absolutely white hot. Not only was the form good, Rosina, of course, who won that race, is the 1,000 guineas favourite. The time in the race was absolutely off the scale, and they went a good gallop that day. There was no hiding place. Kiyoshi, of course, she won the Albany Stakes at the Royal Ascot. She was well fancied and could only manage second. Tapestry, who was she was third, also as highly regarded. And Carla Bianca, only her second start in her career, managed to keep up with the very best fillies around in fourth. And she was doing some really good late work to suggest that 7 furlongs at this stage of her career is a little bit too short for her. She's a real leggy, tall, scopy galloping type. And I've got a feeling that as a three-year-old, she's going to come into her own. On her debut, she was second to the 2,000 guinea second favourite called Australia. Now, she's only got beat 3/4 of a length that day. Now, she's been mixing it with really good company here. She's basically a Group 1 horse in a maiden at Dundalk. And as I said, 1-2 could literally be the gift of all time if you're an odds-on backer here. You couldn't argue if she's putting here at 4-1 on or 5-1 on, because the second favourite, I thought, ran okay first time up Meandering, but certainly did nothing to suggest she's going to be beating a horse like Carla Bianca. You've got Fastnet Mist and Star So Bright making their debuts, and unless there's any money for those two, this Carla Bianca, like I say, could go off at a ridiculously short price. So, albeit I'm not really, massively keen on betting 2-1 on chances and 4-7 chances on a regular basis, I do actually think this is a really good bet. If I was going to offer up one as a full forecast alternative, or perhaps without the favourite or an each-way horse, is a horse called Seacoast from the Mickey Halford stable. Mickey, as we know, has got a really good record here at Dundalk, and I thought she shaped encouragingly on two starts at Leopardstown and the Curry, very good maidens, particularly the last one when she was fifth behind Tested. That race has worked out really well. Horses like Crystal Fashion, Wind in Her Sleeves, Sparrow and Dance With Another have all won since. So at 20-1, perhaps you might want a few quid on her each way, but I think Carla Bianca is going to be going to be winning this race before going on to take on much better things.
Yep, fair enough. Carla Bianca then at 1-2, and the advice would be to take that price while it's hot, because it's only going to get shorter. 8:15 is the next race on the card from Dundalk. Another of these handicaps for horses rated between 47 and 65. Just over 1 mile, 2 furlong. And we've got a fair few Dundalk specialists in the field. I think there's 8 horses here who've won at the course before. Is that important for you when you're making your selection?
It certainly is, yeah, but doesn't make it any easier, Sam. Here, this race is an absolute nightmare.
No,
I basically just wouldn't have a bet in this race. I've got to give a selection, of course, and I think whichever one I come up with, I could come up with about another 2 or 3 alternatives. They basically just win in their turn, and you go skint betting in races like this. But I do think Christie's Caller run well, along with Baronia. Those would be my main two if I was going to have a choice and perhaps pick two against the field. Christie's Caller is a very consistent horse trained by Gavin Cromwell. Hasn't got a particularly good draw, but hasn't stopped it running well before. For instance, back in January, over this course and distance, it managed to defy stall 13 when Baronia, equally badly drawn, was back in third. Baronia has gone on to run consistently well subsequently, including when second to table 46 last time out. So at least with those two horses, you're pretty much getting what you want in these kind of races. Horses are bound to run their races. They usually run up to their very best form. So my advice would be keep stakes at a minimum if you're going to bet, and they would be on Christie's Call and Baronia. I'd probably split my stakes on the two.
OK, then a couple of each-way picks there for Andy in a very tricky to call 8:15. I've got to say, I'm glad I'm not the one making the selection on that race. The 8:45 is the penultimate race from Dundalk. We've got another odds-on favourite in this one in Ruby Tuesday, who's available at 8-11 at the time of recording. La Hinch Classic 7-2, She's Mine 7-1, 8-1 Vintage Nouveau, and it's 11-1 or bigger the remainder. Is Ruby Tuesday as good a price as Carla Bianca was in that earlier race?
I don't think she is. I think this race is primed for a bit of an upset here. I do like Ruby Tuesday's run first time out. Of course, we get to look at that form early on the card with Meandering, who's seventh in that aforementioned race behind Chistiok, who won the race. Now, Chistiok has already got beaten subsequently. She finished 6 of 8 behind Dazzling in a Guineas trial the other day, or an Oaks trial, depending on which way you look at it. And because they finished in a bit of a heat the other day in that Leopardstown maiden, albeit Ruby Tuesday did catch the eye with a night catching running fourth when she wasn't knocked about, and I'm sure she'll improve for that run. I'm just absolutely not totally convinced about the overall standard of that form. And at 4-5, 8-11, I want to be more convinced about that if I'm going to take a short price. So I'm going to offer up Lahinch Classics as the value alternative. I'm actually going to make Davy Watson's filly my nap of the night. I think she should be a lot shorter than the current 7-2 with William Hill. I could see this horse going off around about a 5-2 chance, maybe even shorter, because I actually think her maiden form behind My Titania is the best form on offer here. I do really regard this John Ox horse who won that race that day. I think we'll see the best of her this season when she steps up in trip, and form in and around My Titania I think is definitely worth keeping on the right side of. And Lahinch Classics did some really good work that day for a horse making a debut over looking at a breed in what was an inadequate trip of 7 furlongs. She was doing some really good work late on. She went through the line quite strong, and I marked her down as a filly to keep on the right side of when she goes into a 3-year-old campaign. And she's a big, strong type, so I'd imagine, you know, she's come on quite considerably over the winter. She's got a really good stall as well, stall one. It means she can go around the inside and save ground all the way around the inner. And with the David Watchman team in good form, of course, they had another winner on Sunday with a filly called Booker. Fly to the Moon has won already. I really do fancy this filly tonight. I think she's going to turn over the favourite, and at 7-2, we can get really stuck into her at that price. So nap of the night at that price, Lahinch Classics in the filly's maiden.
OK, there we go, Lahinch Classics at an attractive price for Andy. We'll go to the last one then, the 9:15 at Dundalk. We've got co-favourites in this one at the time of recording. Eberdani and Madame Mo are both top of the market at 9-4. Rocky Blear 5-2. Duarte Fernandez 5-1. New Regalia 5-1. And 33-1 or bigger the field. Who do you like in the lucky last, Andy?
Not really a lot, Sam, to be honest. I think, again, this is another really mediocre event. Hopefully we've done all the good work early on the card. You know, the best form arrives courtesy of Eberdani and Rocky Blear. They both ran here the other night behind Catchy Lass. But the fact that Catchy Lass managed to win it, I think about the 13th or 14th time of asking, tells you the poor standard of that form. But unfortunately, it's probably the best form on offer. So I'm going to have to go with Eberdani, who was probably in need of the run on that occasion. Of course, Mickey Halford's child hadn't run since mid-July and was entitled to just be all the better for that outing. At least we know this horse has got some solid enough form at Dundalk to be fairly, you know, reliant on it running its race. Basically, I just don't fancy anything else in the race. So it's unoriginal, but I think we'll close out with Eberdani in what looks a really weak maiden.
Fair enough then. Eberdani for Andy in the last one. If you could just take us through one more time, Andy, all your picks for the final Dundalk meeting of the season.
Yes, one or two really good betting races. Others I think we can afford to leave alone. First race, I'll go with Capella Sansevaro from the Mickey from the Cheer Lion stable. In the 6:15, I'll take a bit of a chance on Little Fastnet. I think she's quite well treated off a mark of 72. One of my strongest bets of the night would be Prince of All to continue the good work of Paul Deegan in that Pattern Stakes over 7 furlongs. In the 7:15, I'll take a chance with Butcher's Filly each way around about 5-1. In the 7:45, well, I think Carla Bianca should win that without coming off the bridle, and 1-2 could be a very good bet there. In the 8:15, not a particularly strong view, but it's a 5-1 the field race, so that tells you all you need to know. But I'll go with Christie's Call and Baronia. My nap of the night is Lahinch Classics, particularly if you can get that 7-2 with William Hill this morning. And in the final race, no strong view, but Eberdani hopefully will round off another solid campaign for Mickey Halford.
OK, excellent stuff there. Then the thoughts of Andy Holding on this William Hill Irish Racing preview. Remember, you can listen to all this evening's racing from William Hill Racing Radio. But in the meantime, I've been Sam Norris. Thanks for joining me on the podcast today, Andy, and I hope you enjoy the racing tonight.
Will do.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.